May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start this Harvest Festival sermon with St. Paul. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, then you'll reap bountifully. Harvest produce is the result of sowing. It's the result of work. And most of that work is now highly mechanized. Though those who grow fruit and vegetables in their garden still understand the process better than many other people do. Harvest is the work of many people, ours and others. And I want here to take a broad concept of work and harvest, because our work is no longer all about growing food. In fact, relatively small, few of us work in that kind of way. I come from Coventry, which is known as a car manufacturing city. In the Harvest Festival in the cathedral, we used to have a new car along with the sheaves as a symbol of the breadth of harvest produce. I work as a university lecturer. Part of my harvest produce is the education my students have received. Charlie knows some of them well enough to judge whether that's a good harvest or not. And work is one of those things, one of those important things that are neglected in sermons, and I want to say something about it this morning. Work can be demanding. It can be hard. The sowing and reaping can be hard, and so can all the other work we do. But I don't think hard work is a problem for most of us. Work has its problems, but I don't think the sheer quantity of work is usually the main problem. There are two other problems that often afflict our work. One is that we lack little sense that we're producing anything worthwhile. We often don't see what we're producing. And as work has become increasingly mechanized, particularly industrial production, we don't see what we're producing. So people engaged in that kind of work get little job satisfaction. If you're building a car or even a bicycle on your own, that can be an enormously satisfying thing to do. But if you're just adding one little screw in a bicycle manufacturing process, it's a very different experience, and you don't see what you're producing. And if we want to redeem work, and I think we should want to redeem work, then I think enabling people to see what they're achieving is a key part of that. Something else that goes wrong with work is that work often becomes very stressful. And that's generally not the work itself, but the working relationships that make it stressful. We human beings make work stressful for one another by stressing each other out. It's part of the fallen condition in which humanity is caught up. And another important way in which work could be made so much better for all of us is if we could avoid stressing each other out in our work through being surrounded by difficult people and being difficult ourselves. And those of you who've experienced some really good teamwork know what a beautiful and restorative thing that could be. I wish there could be more of that. So those are two important ways in which I think we could make our work more satisfying, enabling more people to see what they're achieving and making it less stressful. And as I've said, that applies to all work, not just to the work we do in producing food. That's my first point. This is a classical sermon with three points. But of course, we can't take all the credit for the work we do in producing food, in producing harvest. We, the human race, can't take all the credit for it. We depend on nature and on the remarkable way that things grow, on the rich range of nourishing things that nature throws up. We depend on nature for warmth and light and water. In fact, we depend on nature for all the four traditional elements about which Malcolm has been preaching recently on Sunday evenings. And behind nature, we Christians believe that there is a God. I don't think there is a logical, watertight argument that goes from observing nature to concluding that there is a God. But if you look at the orderliness and fruitfulness and beauty of nature, then I think the most reasonable explanation of that is that it reflects a God who willed it to be so. And science has helped us to realize all the more just how improbable it is that nature should be as fruitful as it is. I'll be saying more about all this in the short series of talks I'll be starting Tuesday week about God in science. Of course, there's more to God than nature. There are different faces of God. It's one of the values of the doctrine of the Trinity that it constantly reminds us there are different faces of God. We can't equate nature with God, but nature is one face of God, and reflecting on nature can lead us to God. Some of you may have read Charles Darwin's great book on the Origin of Species and notice the way he talks about nature there. He really personifies nature in a very unusual way, unusual to us now, reading it in the 21st century. It's almost as though he was talking about God, but just translating God into nature. And Darwin spent ages writing that book, and I've wondered whether in a very early draft he was actually using the word God and in a later edition went through and crossed it out and put nature instead. It almost reads in many places as though that's the way he was thinking. But anyway, my general point is that behind nature there is God. And we depend on nature. And it's important for us to recognize our dependence on nature. Important for us to see the implications of that. Harvest depends on cooperation between us and nature. We certainly can't do anything ourselves without the natural processes of growth on which the world depends. But nature doesn't do tremendously well on its own without our helping it along, despite the wild blackberries that some of us like to pick in the summer. Producing food really depends on cooperation, and it teaches us an important lesson about interdependence. It's a lesson we need to learn at every level. Cooperation between one person and another, cooperation between humanity and nature, cooperation between humanity and God. It's God's way too, cooperation. It's not his style to zap into the world and make things happen despite us. His style is to draw us into cooperation with him. And he does that with inexhaustible patience. It's God and us working together. Sometimes people in the Christian faith have tried to set up an either-or. We're saved either through faith in what God has done or through our own efforts. And once you set the dichotomy up in that way, the answer has to be that we're saved through faith in God. But it's a false dichotomy, and one that the Eastern Church has done better in avoiding than we have in the West. God invites us into faith. He also invites us to do what we can in cooperation with him, both. They're not separable. So learning to cooperate with nature in producing food can be a good school, a good training ground for learning a lesson about cooperation and interdependence, a lesson that has much broader ramifications. But we humans are not learning that lesson very well. As everyone knows, we've been exploiting nature in a way that's unsustainable. And I believe that's fundamentally a spiritual challenge. Or rather, it's an urgent practical challenge that's going to require a spiritual response if we're going to get out of our current problems. I was talking last week about how God speaks to us through events in the secular world, how God often challenges through things in the ordinary secular world. And I believe that God is challenging us now through the manifestly unsustainable, exploitative relationship we have with the natural world, challenging us to learn some basic lessons about respect and cooperation. And in the end, we're going to have to learn those lessons. And the only question is really how bad things are going to have to get before we learn them. There's no way round this challenge that God is facing us with. It's a challenge that's made to the whole of humanity in the secular world, and a challenge that calls for a spiritual response. There's no alternative to learning those lessons about cooperation sooner or later. And if we do learn them, it will mark a spiritual advance for the whole of humanity. That's my second point. And the third is this. Realizing that food is not something we can, producing food is not something we can do on our own, should also teach us some lessons about generosity and sharing. And that's one of the core messages of this morning's New Testament reading. The point is really that generosity pays off. It gets results. That's what St. Paul is really saying about sowing bountifully, generously. If you sow generously, then you reap generously. You receive a generous harvest. And it's clear from the Gospels that generosity is central to how Jesus wants society to run. Not through storing up treasures on earth in our barns where moth and rust corrupts. Not through trying to become rich people, because that makes it more difficult to enter the kingdom of God than a camel going through the eye of a needle. And not, I think he might have added in the modern world, not through taking out insurance policies either. But by building up a community of people, in fact building up a whole society of people who give generously and who trust that others will give generously to them. I find that enormously challenging, and I can't quite bring myself to realize it could work. I was talking about this at more length on a recent Sunday evening. Challenging though it is, I find it tantalizing and inviting, and I wonder if there might be something in it. And I have to admit that the alternatives we've tried in human society have not worked very well. Communism hasn't worked and has failed to deliver prosperity for anyone very much. But equally, encouraging everyone to accumulate as much wealth as they can for themselves has not worked very well either. And having bankers who are following that principle nearly shipwreck the whole economy and shipwreck prosperity for all of us. Couldn't we give the New Testament idea of generosity a try? At least try it a bit and see if it seems to be working? There's a wider lesson here, a lesson we can learn from growing foodstuffs. In order to get a rich harvest, we need to sow generously, as St. Paul says. But if we can learn the lesson there, we may learn its implications more widely, and we may see the importance of sharing generously the produce of food that nature is able to produce with our cooperation. I went to a minor public school near Coventry, and every autumn we had a compulsory harvest festival in the school chapel. You can imagine what a yawn that was for most schoolboys. And I always pitied the preachers who came to talk to us on the harvest festival. It was a graveyard for any normal preacher. But once we had a remarkable harvest sermon from Edward Patey, who was then in Coventry but spent most of his ministry as Dean of Liverpool. And Edward, in his crisp, breezy way, started by saying, Harvest Festival isn't a matter of singing pretty songs about tomatoes and flowers. It's about sharing the world's food so the hungry could be fed. And saying it in his crisp, breezy way, as he did, he got everyone's attention and went on to give a marvellously erudite but also gripping account of what we were going to need to do to share the world's food properly. He got everyone's attention. It was the talking point of the school for the whole day. They'd never heard a harvest sermon like it. It is a central aspect of harvest that we learn to share the world's food so that the hungry can be fed. Jesus invites us to a life of sharing and generosity. And he's not only saying that that is right and proper, he's also promising us a better life, all of us a better life, if we can learn generosity, if we can take the risk of being generous. I've made 3 points. Firstly, about work. Let us redeem work so it is more satisfying and less stressful for us all. Let us learn lessons about respect and cooperation from the way we engage with nature in producing food. Lessons that we need to learn if we're going to draw back from the unsustainable exploitation of nature in which we're currently involved. And thirdly, let us try to take a step towards generosity and sharing, something the Bible encourages us to do, on the grounds that generosity works, that it gives results, gives blessings for everyone, ourselves and others. May it be so.